me close, closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Oh, Jesus, draw me close. Somebody say praise the Lord. Go ahead and give Him a real good hand clap of praise tonight. He's worthy of your praise. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Just how many of you enjoyed service here Wednesday night? Do you appreciate the word of the Lord? It gets better every time we come here. It's just camp meeting every service nearly. Aren't you glad to be part of something great? Aren't you glad God loved you enough to let you live here and believe this? Are you glad you're a Christian tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God on Saturday night. Play some more of that, brethren, if you will. Let's sing that again. Praise the Lord. What better thing could we ever have in our heart to do as a desire than to worship and obey? He has done so much for us. He has given us the best. He saved the best for last. Aren't you glad you get to believe the best? Praise the Lord. What a privilege it is to be in the house of God tonight. We'll let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request tonight. Brother Rob, if you'd get ready tonight to lead us to the Lord. Sister Ruth Louise Balash wants us to pray for the Lord's perfect will, that she could sell her house, also for work and financial needs that the Lord knows all about. We just commit that unto the Lord, that God would be mindful of her situation. Brother Capel says, God bless you, my dear brothers and sisters. I need your prayer so that the Lord would cleanse my body of BPA. It's a toxic substance. It attacks my heart, brain, and prostate. I believe that if you will pray, it will leave me. So we just commit that to the Lord and ask God to help that situation. Please pray for Sister Brenda Jones. She's very sick with bronchitis. Also, she asks that we have prayer for her husband, Scotty. He has been laid off from his work. We'll need to find a job. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight as we pray. Also, this is a prayer request from Brother Kirk and Sister Martha Sacker. Please continue to pray for Judy Allen. She's continuing rehab from her recent stroke. Really needs God's help and encouragement. They're discussing her release from where she is currently at to go home on Wednesday. Please pray for great progress and strength. So we just commit that need unto the Lord tonight. Brother Amos wants us to praise God for answering prayer and giving the most valued co-worker on his job. So he wants to praise the Lord for that tonight. Sister Lou Bean says to please pray for Sister Sharon Binkley. She cut her leg on a piece of rusted metal. It's not looking good. Please pray that no infection sets in, that it will heal up with no problem. So we just commit that unto the Lord tonight. Brother Keith Phillips says to please pray for my Aunt Linda Kennedy. She's been having a lot of lower back pain and is very stressed over my uncle's illness. Also remember his uncle Bill as he and the Lord fight the cancer in his body. So let's remember those needs tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Linda and Eddie Jablonski, both sick, unable to be in the service tonight. I want to pray for Sister Linda Loris, homesick tonight, needs healing. Pray for Janet and Eugene Kennedy, both are sick tonight. Let's pray for those folks. Please pray for Howard and Yvetta Collins, both sick. Also, Sister Yvetta has a very special unspoken prayer request. We just commit that unto the Lord. I want to pray for Kristen Wiggins, having severe reaction to penicillin. So let's remember that need tonight. Brother Richard Baker says to please continue to pray for Sister Christine. She is doing some better, but still ask for prayer. So we just commit these things unto the Lord tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about, we just believe we're serving a God that's mindful of our needs. He may not come when you want Him, but He's never been late. He'll be there right on time. Do you believe that with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Just let me make this announcement. Brother Michael wanted to thank all of you for your participation in the shoebox Christmas thing that they put on to help needy children. They got rid of all 300 Christmas shoeboxes, and he wants to thank you for your participation in that. God bless you tonight. Amen. So we helped some children along the way, didn't we? Praise the Lord. Let's stand tonight, if you will. Brother Rob, if you'd come at this time, lead us to the Lord. Let's just commit these things unto the Lord. Ask Him to have His divine will in this service tonight. God bless you. Love you, buddy.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come to You with prayer, and we come to You with thanksgiving in our hearts. This time of Thanksgiving, Lord, it's our favorite time of the year, that we can come and give You thanks for what it is that You've done, opportunities, Lord, that You have here in this prayer request. Lord, I thank You, Lord, for the revelation that You've given to our hearts and how You've made us, Lord, more like You. As time goes by, we thank You for so many blessings that You've given to us, Lord. We're undeserving, but we receive them, Lord, by Your grace. And I pray, Lord God, for these prayer requests that are made with faith, believing, Lord, that You are more than able to meet every challenge and every desire of Your heart, Lord, through us. so many times in the scripture you asked us, Lord, as your faith is, so be it unto you. Father, help us, Lord, to pull on you for your faith to be manifested. And I found a quote, Lord God, one of my favorite quotes in the message. When you see the word manifested, you see the Father God. These prayer requests want to see you, Lord, in action. See you manifest yourself in these opportunities. Lord God, I pray that we can see you in this service. Open the eyes of our heart that we may see you, Lord God. Manifest yourself and fulfill your desire in us, I pray, in this day, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Rob, God bless you. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you in this service. All those that are streaming this service tonight, we pray it'll be a blessing to those folks as well. A lot of folks traveling on the road, let's pray for their safety, that God will just be with them. Pray for our pastor down, Brother Fred Mullins this weekend, that the Lord would just bless them with some wonderful services. And well, we're going to have a great time here tonight, I believe, with all my heart. Brother Ben Norod is here. His family, I believe, is with him maybe. And we're just looking to what the Lord would have for us in this service tonight. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul rolled away. It made me high, glad and free. I'll sing it and shout it, for he's everything to me.
Shout it.
Yes, He is. Praise the Lord. He's everything to me. Is He everything to you tonight? Just reading in the Scriptures, just to share this with you just for a minute or two. King David had come back because the Ark of God had come back into the camp of Israel. And the Bible says that he and the people were with him. They were shouting. They were blowing the trumpets. They were beating the cymbals. And the Bible said that David danced with all of his might before the Lord. And his little stuck-up wife looked at him out the window and said, "You acted like a foolish man. You just acted so silly out there." He said, in layman's terms, just so you'll understand, if you think I acted bad today, you wait till tomorrow. I'm going to tell you something. It's time that being quiet is over with. You know what? Our world is absolutely turned upside down, inside out. People will legalize anything. They'll say anything's right. They'll believe anything you tell them, except the truth. Now, we've got the truth. And I say this. It's time to let our light shine. I'm not talking about acting the fool and being an idiot, but I'm saying this. I'm glad and I'm thankful for what God has revealed in my heart today. I'm not ashamed to be identified with Malachi 4. I'm not ashamed to be identified with Donnie Reagan. I'm not ashamed to be identified with my Christian brothers and my Christian sisters. It's a privilege from God Almighty. Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. You love Him with all your heart. Hallelujah. Let's just sing that little chorus tonight. God is good all the time and all the time. Oh, you can do better than that. God is good and all the time. Give Him one more hand clap of praise in the house of God tonight. Well, I said my God is good. I know He is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over. No greater friend you'll find.
He's not good just once in a while.
Oh, let's sing about it. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. Thank you for singing so good. Y'all just getting better all the time. I mean that with all my heart. You're just getting better all the time. I believe you like to sing and worship the Lord. I believe even Greg likes to sing and worship the Lord. I really believe that, Brother Greg. We appreciate the goodness of our Lord, don't we? What He's done for us. Brother Rob mentioned in his prayer just a few minutes ago, this is the season that everybody will celebrate Thanksgiving. And if anybody in the world's got anything to be thankful about, it's the bride of Jesus Christ. What He's brought us out of, where He's placed us, and where He's taken us to, it's out of this world. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Brother Ben's going to come here just in a minute. I guess they've got plenty of songs for us tonight. But let's just sing a little chorus as Brother Ben Norod gets ready to come and bring us the word of the Lord tonight. How many of you are going to pray for our brother that God will just bless him and we'll pull on the gift of God? We'll get something out of this service tonight if we want it. I promise you, if you want it, you'll get something out of this service tonight. Let's sing that little chorus just in the to do with the season. I bowed on my knees and cried holy. We're serving a holy risen God. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Let's sing that as Brother Ben Norod gets ready to come at this time. I bowed on my knees and cried holy. Holy, holy, oh, I clap my hands and say glory, I say glory to the Son. Give Brother Ben a nice hand tonight as he comes at this time. God bless you, buddy. We're glad to have you with us.
Good to be with you tonight. God bless you. Bless you, friend. Hi. How's everybody doing tonight? Good. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Certainly appreciate the opportunity to be gathered with you again tonight in the house of the Lord. For all of you that ain't in South Carolina, God bless you. We're going to have church tonight. Amen. You can be seated if you'd like. I want to invite Samantha, wherever she might be tonight, to come. We're going to sing a few songs. If we can do that, it'd be all right. And then we'll get right into the word of the Lord. I want to say thank you to Brother Donnie for allowing us to come by this way again, him and the church body. I certainly appreciate each one. See so many familiar faces around the building. God bless each one of you tonight. We love you. It's so nice to be back home in Happy Valley. I count this a home away from home. I grew up with you by them tapes out there, so it's home to me. That's right. Amen. So it's good to be back. And we're going to just ask the Lord to really bless us this weekend and just give us of His grace and His love and His mercy. And I just believe He's got a lot of hay on the fort for all of us. Amen. What do you think about it? I'll preach if you pull. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I'm not Donnie Reagan. I'm not Darrell Ward. I'm not any of them other guys, and I don't expect you to get that kind of sermon. I'm me. I'm always going to be me. So just get all that out of the way now. Amen. And I'm going to preach. I'm going to lay it right on out there, and if you pull, I'll preach. If you don't pull, I'm going to preach anyways, but it'll go better. It'll go better if you pull. Amen. Amen. You glad to see Sister Samantha back with us tonight? We got that new baby out there somewhere or another. She's 6 months old today. of F.
It's my desire to live for Jesus. It's my desire to live just for Him. Though oft I fail, brought Him much shame. It's my desire to live for Him. If you could see where Jesus brought me from, to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love Him so. And you can take this world, its wealth, its riches. I don't need earth's power. It's my desire to live for Him. It's my desire to help someone today.
Oh, you're singing good tonight. Second that.
Someone who may have failed to see the way. I too once was so lost, but I found my way to God, and it's my desire to
time.
It's
don't rush
my
it. We got
desire to help someone today, someone who may have failed to see the way. I too once was so lost.
I wonder if anybody's singing to him.
But then I found my way to God. And now it's my desire. and you can take this world's wealth and riches. I don't need a star. It's my desire.
Soul, that's where I feel this tonight. How about you?
When I look, what do I see? There's nothing but a bunch of misery, but I'm as happy as I can be with Jesus in my soul. And way down
in this heart of mine,
way down
there's peace of mind.
Way down
there's floods of joy
above and in my soul. And when the devil, he comes around to turn my smile upside down, but I just raise my hand and say, I'm happy in the Lord anyway. And way down
in this heart of mine,
way down
there's peace of mind.
Way down
there's floods of joy bubbling in my soul.
And you may wonder why I sing and shout, why I get happy and dance all about. I've got a joy I cannot explain with Jesus in my soul. And way down
in this heart of mine,
way down
there's peace of mind.
Way down
there's floods of joy bubbling in my soul.
And way down
in this heart of mine,
way down
bubbling in my soul. I said they're bubbling in my soul. Yeah, they're bubbling in my soul.
In my soul.
Yes, sir. Whoever said dynamite comes in small packages, they were right, wasn't they? Man, that girl can sing.
Woo!
Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand together tonight. My goodness. I think I'm going to marry that one, sure enough. Amen. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to speak tonight and tomorrow morning on what John saw. What John saw. Revelation 4, verse 1. Excuse me. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. There's no way in the world that you can be in an atmosphere like this and not be in the Spirit. Amen. And behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one sat on the throne. I guess I don't have to tell y'all what's getting ready to come next. If there's any more gods, they're sitting on the floor. You've heard that for years, haven't you? And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Let's read together the Revelation series. Brother Bram says, now the scene is changing. John has been watching Patmos and now he looks up. Why? He sees something that went down on the earth, these church ages, and all down through the ages, or these seven church ages, after he got through seeing the church ages, after that, after the church ages has ceased, he heard a voice. He looked up toward heaven, and he's seen an open door. And the first voice sounded like a trumpet. He said, all right, the scene is changing from Patmos to heaven. My, what John saw. We're about to find out this weekend. Let's pray together, can we? With your heads bowed tonight, if you'd just like to be remembered in prayer, some special need on your heart by the lifting of your hand, mine is up too. Lord Jesus, we're so needy of you tonight, my Father. I don't even know how to express our great need. In the words that you've given me, Lord, my vocabulary, I just run out of phraseology to tell you how much I love you, how much I thank you, and Lord, how much we need you. As we look into your word tonight, we realize that any man with mortal ability can pull back the pages of the sacred book of God. And by definition, he has opened it. But Lord Jesus, we know that this infallible, perfect book can only be opened by the hands of the author. I pray that you would take your word tonight, that you would so quicken it to our hearts, that you would use me as a vessel, Lord, that I could be a conduit to speak through me. Anoint them that they might be able to listen and hear and receive all that you would say to us tonight. Give us of thy favor in every way and every day. We pray you'd be with us in the word, both speaker and listener, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. For me, I love the book of Revelation because it is a part of the last day that other ages was not privileged to look into. And the things that are hiding in this particular book are revelations and understandings and mysteries that was preserved for the day that we're living in. One thing that I want to kind of call your attention to is in the first age with Paul, when this word was wrote under John, if you was to set down John, Paul, Peter, and all the rest of them and set them down and say, now, brethren, do you understand what John was writing in this book of Revelation? I believe that if you ask Paul, who was the pattern of all the other ages, he had the ability, God gave him the ability to set a tone and a pattern for the rest of the ages. Brother Bram said every God-called ministry will be an approximation of what Paul was. He was the one that was given the commission that if an angel preaches anything contrary, let him be accursed. But if you asked him, do you understand the book of Revelation? Paul would have to say, Brother Ben, I don't understand a word of it. Now, if you ask Peter, who had the keys to the kingdom, the man that opened up the gospel for the entire Gentile dispensation, the man who gave the inaugural speech for the Church of the Living God when he gives us Acts 2:38. Peter, do you understand what it was that John was writing about in his great book? And I believe that Peter would have to say, honestly, Brother Ben, I don't know what he's talking about. Finally, you'd say, John, do you understand the things that you were writing about? As you pinned them down and you saw the visions and this happened and that happened, do you understand what was being said? I believe John would have to say, I was there, I was in the vision, I partook of everything, you know, that God showed me and wrote it down just exactly as the way the Lord let me see it and hear it. But I really, Brother Ben, I don't understand what was being said. But now, fast forward to the 21st century. And now let's sit down me and you at a table. And let me ask you the same question. I believe that we're living in a time where you and I can raise our hand and say, I understand what Paul and Peter and John and the rest of them did not understand. The unfolding of the seven seals, the opening of the Word has given us an entrance to go into this book of Revelation and understand the mystery of God for the hour that we're living in. Remember, it wasn't until the bridegroom cried in Matthew 25 that there was a difference between the foolish and the wise virgin. It was at the sounding of the opening of these seven seals that the Word began to open up and open up to a spot to where we can begin to understand that we are not just a church, come on somebody, but we are a bride. And we're not just a part of a social gathering or a social club, but we are the very elected genes of God from the foundation of the world. Somebody help me preach tonight. We came from God, we will return back to God. We realize that now, because of the sounding of these seals, that the 144,000, they have a rightful place in the Word. Those that are good and kind to the brethren that will live on outside of the city, they have a place, a rightful position in the Word of God. Those nations that protect and stand for Israel during the tribulation period, they will have a rightful position in the body of Christ as far as the Christ collective goes on the outside of the city. Oh my, because of the opening of this Word, we are not wandering around. Am I an Israelite? Am I a Jew? Am I church? Am I a foolish virgin? What am I? But now we can raise our hands and we can say, I am the bride of the living Lord God. I came from God. I go back to God. He is mine. I am His. And we are one together because of the opening of this Word. Now John is getting ready to take an amazing trip. And what he's about to see is going to boggle the mind. Believe me when I tell you, Disney ain't got nothing on what God's getting ready to show this man. Huh? So the things that God's getting ready to reveal to this little prophet of God is going to be so overwhelming, so wonderful, that the moment God opens up a door in heaven, immediately he is in the Spirit of God. Oh, think of it. As he stands there in this place looking down through the church ages, he sees, as he stands at the end, the culmination of the Laodicea, and he looks up into the sky. He sees a door opened up. Now, we know who that is. That's our Lord Jesus, none other. And as we look up into the heavens and we see that door opening up, notice that in the church ages, there are two vines. There are those that are false. There are those that are true. There are all kinds of groups and things gathered around the ages. But when this divine call comes from heaven to call John up, there is no foolish virgin. There is no false vine. There is no critic, no hypocrite, no cynic, nobody that is invited to this private place except for John himself and John and Jesus alone. God doesn't want the false vine up there. He doesn't want them blending in with the rest of the canvas of heaven. Oh my, this is reserved for John, who is a prophetic class within himself. Whew, I feel like preaching, y'all. Oh, glory to God. Watch this now. I love these words, verse 1. After this, I looked, and he said, behold, a door was open in heaven. Now watch. The first voice that I hear was as a trumpet talking with me. Now it was behind him in the first ages. But now the voice has had an administration change. And it's no longer on the earth, but now it's coming from heaven. You see, the characteristics of the elect of God is wherever that voice is, they are not too far away from that voice. This is why Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice. Come on, somebody. And a stranger they will not follow. Every time you see the voice in the scripture, you see the prophet, or you see the bride, or you see the preacher, or you see the elect, not far away from where that voice is at. So now the voice is not calling from behind, but now it is calling from heaven. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And now John is being called, come up, John, into this heavenly place. Say what you want to, but God will not allow scallywags into this place. Now look at me so hard, I just quoted you a quote, I just didn't tell you I was doing it. Brother Bram said, God will not allow scallywags into this place. Now you realize that when John is being called up, that once he steps into this room, the door is going to close behind him. Now we go to Matthew 25 and we find the foolish virgins seek for oil, and when they come to find oil, the door is closed right in their face. That's why they can sit right in a message church. They can live a highly sanctified life. They can sit right amongst us, but the door is closed to revelation. They have no idea how to come up higher, how to be birthed of the Holy Ghost, how to have a real infilling of the Spirit. But they can say, Brother Bam said, the Bible said, I believe the message. I love Jesus. I'm a sanctified person. All of that's true. But the door has been slammed in their face. But it has been opened to you and I. And we can sit right in the same church service and hear the words of God go forth. And it's like we close the door behind us and step in there close with Jesus and Jesus alone. I don't know about you, but there's no other place I'd rather be than there. With Him and Him alone. Praise the Lord. Now y'all said you was going to preach with me, so you better get with Him. Come on now. You wouldn't want them to see on them cameras that you told a lie. That's right. Watch now. John and the Spirit. Now, we're just going to break this down for a little bit, and then I want to show you a couple of things, the Lord helping us. Now, watch how he says that in verse 2, when he's in the Spirit, he sees a throne. You'll notice the throne is set. Set in heaven. Now, look at this in Daniel chapter 7. He says, and I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow. The hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame. And his wheels has a burning fire. A fiery stream issued, came forth from before him. And thousands. Lord, you talk about a meeting. Hey! I ministered unto him. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set. The books were opened. Brother Bam said, notice. Watch Daniel when he saw the thrones at judgment. They were empty. But when John saw it, the throne was already occupied by Jesus, and the thrones of the disciples, the patriarchs that redeemed, was already fulfilled. So when Daniel sees these thrones, the throne is moving forward, never moving backward. Ooh, that was a good one. Man, that was good. Never moving backward. You see, the real characteristic of a child of God is they never go backwards. They never move in reverse. They're always moving straight ahead to the... Amen. Amen. To the throne room of Almighty God. Never moving in reverse. Always moving forward. Somebody says they got the Holy Ghost and they can't quit backsliding, not 5 days and 5 minutes in their life. You can tell right then something's wrong with them. Because if you got the Holy Ghost, you are always moving forward. Forward. Oh, listen to this. Going down just a little bit in that same paragraph. Watch, he said, Daniel saw it 500 years before the time of Christ. After Christ makes it 2,500 years, John living over into the age that's to come. He saw all this happen. He said, Daniel didn't see it. He just saw the ancient time come. He saw him come. But when John saw him, the throne was already filled. The thrones were cast down with the Ancient of Time, and judgment was set. But when John saw him, the elders had not been chosen yet in the time of John. They were already redeemed at the end time. He said, I hope you're taking thought. Oh my, he said, isn't he wonderful? So when Daniel sees these thrones are empty. But when John sees them, the throne no longer has wheels on it, but now it's set in heaven. Why? Because the work of redemption has already been completed. Now notice as he looks in Revelation 4, he sees Christ at the top, and then spiraling down underneath it, you have the four living creatures and you have the 24 elders right down below that. Now remember, these 24 elders are now in John's vision, sitting there on the throne. When Daniel sees them, there is only an empty throne room there. So you mean to tell me then, Brother Ben, that the bride of Jesus Christ has a predestinated position of authority and overcoming before she's even born down in time? That's exactly what I'm trying to say. She's already got a throne of authority established in heaven before she even takes the breath of life. What were them thrones waiting on? Occupants, of course. Somebody to catch the revelation of their day. Amen. And recognize who they were from the Word. And occupy the throne that God predestinated for them to sit in. Now think about this. You have 24 elders, 12 patriarchs. Those are the heads of the tribes of Israel. John can recognize everyone he's looking at. Then he sees the 12 apostles, Peter, James, Bartholomew, Simon, Andrew, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Then he comes to number 12 and he sees himself in word form sitting on his own throne. I'm going to tell you something, friend. You say, that's ridiculous. No, it's not. The prophet of God said, and who is this Melchizedek of February 65? He said, when you hear the very word of God is eagle food, you left that other thing. You have been formed to the living image of the living God. You heard from your theophany. Hallelujah. John, looking at his own position. Now, I don't mind telling you, that would give a guy some rapturing faith. Glory. When you've already seen yourself make it, that ought to encourage you real good. But you know how people are in the message. They'd see themselves sitting there and say, well, it's probably just a twin of me. It probably ain't me. Some friends can, some people can take the blessings of God and turn it into the worst curse in the world. Negative, negative, negative Nancy. Come on, you know that's right. But here's John looking at himself sitting there on that throne, and God has already positioned him on that place. Remember, you are not bride today because you chose to be bride. You are bride because God, before you could even choose, had already made a decision. I wish somebody would help me preach. God had already, hallelujah, He had already made a decision in the heavens that I've got a bride that's going to come right from my very genes. And there she is sitting there on the throne. There she is reigning right next to Christ. Because wherever the Lamb goes, there she is also. That's why I love being in Holy Ghost filled services, because I belong there. Thank you, Lord. I belong there because where He is, there's the bride also. Amen. Everywhere the bride is, Christ is right there. Some people that feel uncomfortable when the Holy Ghost comes down, it tells right there what's wrong with you. You're not comfortable with people shouting and praising the Lord and going on. Woo, Happy Valley getting quiet now. When little Brother Louis said it a few minutes ago, oh, the time has arrived. And some of you said it sure has for you to shut up. Because some of y'all don't believe in that kind of stuff, do you? You're afraid of fire. But everywhere this lamb goes, you'll see in a few minutes, there's fire where that lamb's at. Amen. And where that lamb's at, that bride is right in the middle of it. And let me tell you, the bride is not afraid of holy fire. She's not afraid of somebody screaming out in the spirit or waking up to the Holy Ghost and saying, glory to God, hallelujah. Like that man that got chills down. It would freeze some of you to death in this church. If somebody next to you just went, ah! So I'm having a meeting with Brother Yance right after church. Where's JD at? I'm going to straighten this mess out. Hello? But the bride is not afraid of fire. Oh, matter of fact, she came from fire. She came from fire. The prophet of God said on the day of Pentecost, he said when the Holy Ghost came down as a rushing mighty wind, he said that fire began to separate itself into 120. Is it more than one fire? If you take one fire and you pull the stick off of it, and you put another one out there and then burn it off and put another one, another one, another one. Do you have 15, 20 different fires? No. You've got the same fire. You've got the same flame. Hallelujah. You've got the same one that's burning in all these different places. Well, you know, glory to God. If that's what you're going to preach this weekend, then I'm just going to flip my little switch. Well, that's all right. Flip your switch. As the minute you flip your switch, we hear the door lock. Oh, yes. Once we hear the switch flip, then we hear the door lock. And then Jesus can tell us some things. Why is it necessary to do all of that hollering and all of that screaming? Why do people have to go? Why does Harry have to play that organ so Pentecostal? If you felt like Brother Harry and Brother Louie and the rest of these men, you'd play it just like them too. You know, that's that Brother Ben coming back. I think that guy just loves to put on a show. Listen, I'm hollering at her, sing it, Sam. Sing it. You know why I'm coming her on? You know why I'm sicking her on? Because the same reason I want you to sick me on. So that we can pull heaven down. So that we can pull heaven down and us get up there. So that we can create an atmosphere for the Holy Ghost to have the right of way. For fire to cover the building over. Some of y'all have got into this Canadian thing, an Ohio thing, clap at every word too. The Bible didn't say clap, it said shout! So some of you, you can clap your way through it. And you look like everybody else and can clap your way through it. And you can hide yourself behind that clap. But if you've got Jesus on the inside of you, don't you get this formality about you where all you want to do is just follow the trends of the church, but let the Holy Ghost have the right of way. Let Him do what He wants to do. Get so drunk you don't even know what your name is. And let the power of God move you in a way that will change your life forever. Y'all afraid to clap now, aren't you? But that's the way we get in this trend. It's formality. So if we say amen, we say amen in a certain way. If we shout in a certain way. And if we jerk our head this way, we got to do it a certain way because so-and-so does it. That ain't what God wants. Come on now. That ain't what God wants. God wants spontaneity. God wants flexibility. God wants you to be able to loosen up. And if you're not a shouter, let God make you a shouter. If you're not a screamer, God can make you a screamer. If you'll just ever let go one time, you Happy Valleyans, if you'll ever let go and die to that old formal sphere, the Holy Ghost will reveal to you things you never saw in this Word before. Amen. But you are not going to get up in this place where John's at and get many more revelation as long as you still hate Pentecost. Well, praise the Lord. Now look, I do not tailor my messages, one for Happy Valley, one for Manchester, one for Murfreesboro, one for this, one for that. What I'm preaching now is the same way I preach all around the world. He knows. Some of you brothers know, you've been to other places. I don't change my message just because that little TV camera's up there poking down on me right now. I'm the same old Brother Ben right now. If there's 10 in this building or 10,000 around the world, you know why? It's the truth of God's Word. It's the Bible. It's the message. It's the restoration of the last day when the Holy Spirit promised to restore to us the Pentecostal blessing. And it's wrong if it's Happy Valley. Formality is. It's wrong if it's Happy Valley. It's wrong if it's Unhappy Valley. You don't get a pass just because you come to this church. The Word is the Word is the Word is the Word. Well, I don't know where all that come from, but praise the Lord. The throne now is established in heaven. Now watch this. Oh my, I just love the way he says this. He says, and one sat on the throne. He that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone. Now watch these colors come forth. There was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. So there was not a black and white color scheme of religion in this room. Hang on, everybody. There was not only legalists and only grace folk in this room. Words amen in case some of y'all forgot it. It was not the extremes, one or the other, but there was a variety of colors inside of this room. And in this rainbow expression of God's character, there was more than just legalism there. That's kind of God people like to serve sometimes. They like that legalistic thing. As a man told me a number of years ago about, you know, women wearing red. I said, it's awful. I said, a woman wearing red. I said, she's doing something wrong. They said, what do you think about it? I said, I think the man needs to get out of the scarlet letter and get in the Bible. Hello? I think they need to get out of them smut novels and get back in the Word of God. But some people like that. As the sisters walk down, they're looking to see, do you have open-toed shoes or closed-toed shoes? Because to them, that's what religion represents. Then you've got the other side of it that can do anything they want to do, act any way they want to act, live any way they want to act, live, they want to do anything they want to do. Glory to God, we're in grace! In so much that it becomes a disgrace. But notice in this room, there was no just two colors, but there was a spray of all these different characteristics of God. Let me say this to you. I am glad that my God showed me grace, but I am equally glad that He showed me judgment as well. He gives me grace to love Him, grace to serve Him, grace when I make mistakes, but He's also got a rod of correction when I need it. And may I say, as David did, His rod and His staff, they do comfort me. How do I know God loves me? Not because He shouts me or jerks me, but because He corrects me. And not just corrects me, but He gives me a way to learn from what I've been corrected on. So in this room are not the two extremes. Therefore, those that are the two extremes will never make it into this room. Ouch, ooch, eat, scorch, burn, hurt. Glory to God. We need holiness. We do. But we need grace while we're trying to become holy. Friends, you can't just throw everybody off in hell that don't do it like you think they ought to do it. I could go home with you. You could go home with me. And by the end of the day, we could pull the book on each other. Praise the Lord. Oh, you say, not in my house, glory to God. I'm already pulling the book as I can see. There's none of us in this room sitting here in this church tonight that can say that we don't do things wrong and make mistakes. But that's why we need another dash of color in our life. Amen. A little grace, G-R-A-C-E, to be able to loosen up some of that legalistic strain. And say, yeah, I saw him do it wrong. I saw her do that wrong. But you know what? I'm going to pray for my brother and pray for my sister. Or need I remind you of what you were when Jesus found you? Because I don't know about y'all, but I was one of these message kids raised in the message, didn't have the Holy Ghost. I know that's a shock. That's a shock, being raised in the message and not have the Holy Ghost. No, I was one of these kids raised in the message and didn't have the Holy Ghost. I needed the Holy Ghost. Now mind you, I was a small boy when I got saved. I wasn't a drinker, wasn't a cusser, wasn't a smoker. But I had enough hate in my heart that I could have floated a river if it had been a river. When I was a sinner, I would sit in the house of God and figure out how I was going to murder and kill each person in that church. And as soon as I got done doing that, I packed my little quote book under my arm and walked out the front door and sat at the Perkins down there and talked about Brother Branham, Brother Branham, Brother Branham, Brother Branham. Until I was at a gospel meeting one day, and this rainbow shed itself across my life. Hallelujah. Oh... until this rainbow spread its canvas across my soul and let me know you are a sinner. You are a sinner. You need to get saved. Now I've got the Holy Ghost and I sit in church and try to figure out how in the world I can help everybody in that building. And when I'm done, I pack my little quote book under my arm, I go to the Perkins and I say, Brother Ram said, Brother Ram said, Brother Ram said. But now I'm doing it right. Hey, I'm doing it the right way by the grace of Almighty God. Man, y'all so much fun to preach to. Just come home with me to Manchester in a few weeks, will you? Just for one meeting. Just one meeting's all I want. Y'all Johnson City folk, come down and pack it out. We'll give Brother Donnie about 5 days straight. Just let him preach it out. Oh, watch this now. In Exodus chapter 25, verse 40. Watch, and Moses says now, and look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mountain. At the choosing of the tabernacle, at the construction of the tabernacle, Moses catches a view of the heavenly and makes the earthly to reflect the heavenly. Exodus 26:1, moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen. Oh, goodness. Not black and white, Brother Amos. Blue, purple, and scarlet. See, because before you can even get inside the tabernacle, you've got to cross through red to get there. Oh, yes, sir. Somewhere up in heaven, there must have been a representation of red, scarlet, somewhere. I believe that's how the death angel knew when he came by that door. Don't you cross through that red door, because he knew what red represented. Some way he knew he wasn't allowed to cross past that red. And when the construction of the tabernacle, was it black and white? It was colors. Colors. Now, look at this. I love how he says here, blue, purple, and scarlet. Now, look at this next part here. Oh my. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Coming down to Ezekiel chapter 1 now, verse 3. Notice how that John, when John is constructing together his vision as he sees the Holy Ghost bringing the understanding of these great colors. Now think of this real close. There was one fire, but out of this fire sprayed these rainbow colors. Now I'm going to slow down a moment. I want you to catch this. Don't miss it. I'm a fast preacher, and if I go too fast, you'll miss this. So what John saw was not a white light or a streak, like an electric streak called the pillar of fire. That is not what John saw. What John sees is an amber, yellowish gold color. I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to show you. Ezekiel 1, verse 3. The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud. Not rocket ship smoke, y'all. A cloud. God still vindicates himself by a cloud. Watch now, a fire enfolding itself. And brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the, what? Color of amber. So not an electric white streak like this. Not at all. It was out of the midst of the fire. I love this right here. And out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Now watch as these living creatures, as they proceed forth, look where they come from. From the midst of the fire. So what was first? The fire. And out of the expression of the eternal, step forth out of the middle. All right. These four living creatures just stepped out of the pillar of fire. Hey, don't feel bad. That's how I got here. Amen. And one of these days, I'm getting ready to step back into it too. Brother Ben said, don't worry about them little UFOs coming down. One of these days, they'll come and pick you up. There'll be hide, hair, nothing left over. Oh, listen, verse 13, as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire. And like the appearance of lamps. And it went up and down the creatures, and the fire was bright. And out of the fire went forth lightning. Lord, this is a noisy bunch right here. I beheld the living creatures, and behold, one wheel was upon the earth. By the living creatures with four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like the color of beryl. And they four had one likeness. Four had one likeness. Not they agree in one, they are one. Two fires or 45 fires burning in the... one fire burning in 45 different places. Which one? Now watch, this is all an expression. The prophet, you say, this is ridiculous. Brother Branham said, when God created me, Orman Neville William Branham, he said, he rotated off of the pillar of fire, my spirit. So where did you and I come from? Praise the Lord. Y'all don't know, since Brother Donnie had told me I'm going to come preach here, I've been ready to explode. I thought, now I preach this a bunch of different places, but Happy Valley's going to like this, I believe. Do you like it? I figured you would. I'm glad you do. I figured you would. This is real eagle food, and I wanted you to get it. Oh my, the appearance and their work was as it were the wheel in the middle of a wheel. Verse 22. The likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creatures was the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their head. Look at these colors coming in. Watching the Hebrew series, Brother Branham said, now the diamond when it comes forth, he said it's just big, smooth, round, like a piece of glass. There's blue diamond, black diamond, emerald, clear diamond, white diamond. He said that it's made and put into use. There's a part of that diamond that it has to lose. It has to lose the chips off of it. That's why you need to come to church sometimes and get the chip knocked off of your shoulder. Knock little chips, because when it comes in direct light, it makes a sparkle. The chip makes a sparkle by the way it's cut. It's cut, chipped, and when it does, it makes a sparkle. Watch out. He said one light will go green, the other will go blue, maybe emerald, maybe red. Different lights will go forth like a rainbow color. They call it fire in the diamond. Amen. Now you realize, in order for this to work, it must be a three-cornered prism. Not three prisms with three individual corners, but one prism, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The prophet said, before you can see anything in this Bible whatsoever, he said, you must see the supreme deity of Jesus Christ. Oh, come on, somebody. If he was only just a man to you, only just a good prophet, then he'll never be the revelation of the hour. But you've got to see him in his supreme deity. Not just Jesus hanging on a cross, but a resurrected body. So when John sees him, he sees rainbow colors. So John is not looking at a pre-Calvary Jesus. He's looking at a post-Calvary Jesus. That's had chips knocked off of him. Glory to God. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised, chapped, bruised for our iniquity. So when John is looking into this room and he sees this rainbow spraying every which direction before him, it wasn't like a little tiny ring around the throne like this, but it was like an old-fashioned disco ball that the light was just going, the rainbows were going every which way. And everywhere John looked, it was spraying around these rainbow colors. So the rainbow represented that Jesus had already been crucified and the atonement had already been completed. Oh, glory to God. Listen to this in Jehovah Jireh now. Let's get a look at him. How many of you here praying knows I'm a stranger, knows I don't know nothing about you? Raise up your hands, you praying and so forth. I don't know much about you. He said, you, that man sitting there with that black tie on, looking right at me. Now, can't you see that light? Just an amber, goldish green light down there. So what color is he? Not white. Not a white electric streak. He's an amber color. Go back here to verse 26 in Ezekiel 1. Above the firmament was over their heads the likeness of a throne and the appearance of a sapphire stone. So above these, the throne was here. The four living creatures here. The 24 elders. It cascade all the way down the mountain. Now, Brother Bram said, Jesus will set at the top of the new city. And as he sets at the top of the new city, The light that comes from Him. This is why the prophet of God said in Future Home that Jesus will be sitting on a throne with the light above Him. It will not be two separate people, but the light will emanate from the body of Jesus, and the light will shine forth from that redeemed body. Oh my, that resurrected body, and the light will create a halo over His head. And as the light hits the stones of this city, onyx, rubies, sapphires, beryls, gems, streets of gold, transparent gold. I ain't never seen that, but I'm waiting to see that one. Remember, I said transparent gold. I've never seen transparent gold, but I bet it's a dandy. Oh, yes, sir. And He said, when the light strikes that city, then stones will be reflectors, and it will create a hue all the way around. So those that are populating the earth on the outside, all of those who were good to the brethren, those that stood for Israel, on and on and on, all of those on the outside of the city, they will look up and see that city, and they will see a rainbow hue all the way around the new city. Now remember, as we'll read a little while, if the Lord help me get there, that clock quits preaching so fast and I get down the road a little bit. I want to show you where the Bible said that when God set the bow, it was for the saving of the earth. So them on the earth will look up to the city and see that rainbow hue, and they'll be able to recognize, this is why we're saved. Those in that city with Him on top is the reason. Is the reason why we're sitting here today. I was coming back from Kentucky the other night. As I got back out to the gas station there, I walked to the back of the car and looked up and saw the most beautiful blue sky I've ever seen in my life. The sun was dropping and the orange and all that coming down. I just thought, my, that's beautiful. And I've been studying on this, and it's like the Holy Ghost said to me, you think that's nice? I said, yes, sir, I really do. He said, you ain't seen nothing yet. That's what He told me. He said, you ain't seen nothing yet. I thought, my God, what is in store for the people of God? Oh, but I don't want to wait till there to get a little piece of it. We quote that scripture, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, and neither is it entered in the heart of it, and we stop. But Paul said, but it has already been revealed to those who have got the Holy Ghost. I don't mind telling you, but while I'm sitting here in church, I believe the revelation of what I'm about ready to see is striking me right now. You think what you want to, but I believe the revelation is beginning to come clearer and clearer and clearer. That bride standing on a crystal revelation anyways, a sea of glass. Ain't no judgment in that. Oh no, she's got a clear revelation. She knows this one God, but not Jesus only. She knows that there's only one bride of Christ. She knows there's only one faith, one Lord, one baptism. She's not wondering about who she is. Her revelation is clear. And if it ain't clear, then you ain't in the right room. Ooh, glory. How in the world does Brother Donnie hold up under all this good stuff falling down that you people pull out? All I know, you got to be special built to take in new revelations. Drop it in while you're preaching. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. He said the appearance of sapphire upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of man above upon it. See, above upon it. And I saw black and white. Color of amber. As the appearance of fire round about within it. From the appearance of his loins upward. The appearance of his loins downward. I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire and the brightness round about it, and the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. So, let me understand this then. Let's put it together. So, rainbows only show up after clouds, and after clouds have showed up, that's a result of rain. So, in 1962, when the former rain had been sown, there was no bow or cloud appeared yet. But when the latter rain got ready to fall, all of a sudden in Tucson, Arizona, a cloud shows up. And then at the opening of the seven seals, don't you understand that's why the devil tries to blast at that and call it rocket ship smoke? I was with a man in Tucson, Arizona that was a rocket engineer, designed them rockets they're talking about that made that cloud ring. And his own testimony is, a rocket ship can't make a ring like that. I like what Brother Chad Lamb said down there in Lima. He said, you've got more faith than I do to believe that that ring could hold its shape for all them hundreds of miles and never even dissipate. No, it wasn't rocket ship smoke. That was our Lord up there. Amen. The latter rain was getting ready to fall on the elect of the hour, and the seals was about to come open. That wasn't rocket ship smoke. That was our Lord up there. Revelation 10:1, watch him. He comes out of the heavens clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was about his head. Now remember, down through the church ages, the prophet said each age had a ray of that rainbow. That's for the saving of the earth. Each ray, each message was for the saving of the earth. So that part of the rainbow was made up on the church ages. But in Revelation 10, here he comes with another half. You know what he was looking for? The other half of his rainbow. Are you with me? I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you. I'm not talking about some church out yonder out there. I'm talking about the very elected of God. That's the reason that you left that other thing and heard from your theophany. Because down in these ages, you was making up that other characteristic. He is bridegroom, but we are the match piece to his side. All right, listen to this. I found this one the other day. I've been building some cabinets for Samantha in our laundry room. And I found Brother Branham said this, I like to tore them cabinets all to pieces. Brother Branham said, did you notice Joseph had a rainbow colored robe around him? And then Brother Branham said these words, did you notice the body, he said, was covered in the rainbow? The body was covered in the rainbow. The body, not the head, but the body. So where is the covenant? It's on the body. Wrapped. Oh, my, maybe this will mean a little bit more to you. I'll tell you what some of these rays represent. Red, of course, we know is agape love. He said blue was the perfect spirit of fellowship. Green is the evergreen, which is life. Blue being royalty, all these different colors, purple and all these ones coming down, they represent different attributes of God's character and God's significance of what kind of being He is. And so when God wrapped you and I, He didn't wrap us just in law or grace, but He wrapped us in all of this. Because I'm going to tell you something, like Brother Bam said, he said, my wife read it to me on the way over, a quote she found, where Sister Samantha found, where Brother Bam said that as we went down through that prayer line, he said, I couldn't take that back there. He said, but now sister, he said, you've got upon you the spirit of friendship. He said, because your spirit has welcomed me in. You see, in the new city, only those wrapped in the perfect spirit of fellowship we'll make it to that place. So if you can't get along down here, I guess you can pretty well figure where you rank down there. Come on, somebody. You're only going to have perfect spirit of fellowship. Let me tell you something. Don't you allow yourself to be sent out there amongst the people of the world. That's the most unfriendly church I've ever seen. Nobody shakes hands. Nobody greets you. No, be wrap yourself, Happy Valley. Wrap yourself in the spirit of fellowship. And welcome and love and show favor. Don't let what goes on the outside of these doors and the stand that you have to take for the gospel, don't let it grieve that spirit of fellowship away from you. God is your protector. Maybe I'll not say this, but maybe I should just go ahead and say it. With everything you people have experienced here, sitting up here, as Brother Donnie says, on this hillside, everything that you've experienced, you're still living, you're still breathing, you're still working, you're still moving ahead, you're not 17 feet under, you're not even half a foot under, you're still moving forward. You know what it proves? You know what it proves to you, children of God? It proves that the devil is a bluff. He is a bluff! And let me say, I don't know why I'm saying it, I just feel anointed of the Holy Ghost to say it. If you let bitterness strike you because of things that happen from the outside in, the devil will rob this perfect spirit of fellowship. And every person you meet, you'll be wondering, are they going to get me? Are they going to get me? Are they out to get me? God knows who is who. And Brother Bam said, when you're his child, he said, when that boss is so unlovely to you, he said, the Holy Ghost just draws near to you. You don't have to worry. If they got a gun in their hand, if they mean to do you harm, just remember, like David looking at Goliath. He wasn't looking at Goliath's size. Oh, no, he was not. But all David had to do was look at Goliath and go. When Goliath turned around, of course, you know who was standing there. He wasn't looking at a big Goliath. He was looking at a God that was bigger than Goliath. Amen. I feel the spirit of deliverance in this place. Amen. God is the one you've got to keep your eyes on, not the world. Because in this new city, only the perfect spirit of fellowship will dovetail with his character. And if you don't have agape love, if you can't even be a friend to people, I question whether you've even been born again at all. Because my Bible said Jesus is my friend. So that means, Brother Amos, Jesus knows how to be a friend. Amen. Watch now. I love this. In Revelation series, Brother Amos said, listen to these words. How would you all like to see him setting upon his glory? First time I read this, looked like them words was that big to me. And I thought, Lord Jesus, how privileged of a people are we really? No other age has been invited to see him setting like you and I have seen him in the day we're living in. He said, let's turn over to Revelation 21:10 right quick. He's right, take a look at him there. He reads, and carries me away into the spirit to a great high mountain, show me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God and her lights. Okay, now somebody tell me how we go from talking about him to talking about, you're catching on a little bit, her. Because where he is, she is also. So it isn't just the glory of God, Jesus is glory himself. But Jesus' glory is your glory. There he is sitting there, look at him. He said, having the glory of God, and her lights was on like a stone, most precious jasper, as clear as crystal. Well, I wonder, is there one God, two gods? Was Brother Bram a prophet or wasn't he a prophet? Was the bridge right? The bridge wasn't right? No. That's muddy waters. That's where some of them folks belong, is in them Louisville muddy waters. Taking a bath from all that stink that they bring out. That's right. But her light, the light. Who is the light? The city had no need of sun because the Lamb is the light thereof. Look at these two scriptures. John 8:12, Matthew 5:14. Jesus spake saying, I am the light of the world. Matthew 5:14, he says, but ye are the light. So where do you get your light? Same place the living creatures got it. From the fire. Now brothers, I hope you can show these next few pictures. Can you get them up? Now this next one you're about to see is one the critics put up off one of their websites. Now when I first saw this, I thought, uh-oh, how am I going to explain this one? I looked at it, there's got Ed Sullivan, he's in the Houston Coliseum, you got the Beatles, Houston Coliseum, you got Brother Branham, Houston Coliseum, all with streaks over their head. And I thought, Lord, I know Brother Branham's right, I know the prophet is telling the truth, but how am I going to explain this one? And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, kind of like almost like when Brother Bram was looking at the picture of that cloud, and the Holy Ghost said, turn it this way. I looked at it, and the Holy Ghost said to me, what's missing? And I thought, I don't know. I thought, well, Lord, surely if you ask me, you're going to tell me. Please don't leave me sitting here wondering about this, because I've got to have an answer for people I preach to. I travel all over the world, question after question after question. I said, God, if I cannot face an answer with this right here, I'm going to be in trouble, because if they ever get a hold of this picture, I don't know how to explain this. And the Holy Ghost said again, what's missing? And I thought, I don't know. Well, I was preaching one day, and in a church, they had this picture up.
color was missing. Well, go on, do it if you're going to do it. Clap, you're going to clap. Now you see, go back to that one there, brother, if you will. Go to the 1 and 4. Now you see, if you look at this in black and white, it looks like it's the same thing. But in their eyes, it's an electric streak over Ed Sullivan. It's an electric streak over the Beatles. But if you put Brother Branham's in color, it's an amber, yellowish, goldish color. Brother Branham said, I told you a long time before the picture was taken, the light that is with the Lord is an amber, yellowish, green color. So if you want to know the answer to that first question, put it in color, baby. Oh, glory! You see, Jesus said He would hide it from the eyes of the wise and prudent and would reveal it to babes such as would learn. Look at the next one. Glory. Not an electric streak. That's what Ed Sullivan's got over him. Because it is a light. It is a light. He is a light. But what is his color? Ooh-wee. Thank you, Jesus, for letting me put the devil on the run tonight. I felt that one rebound plumbing to Africa down there. Oh, glory. Amen, amen. Look at this next part. I don't mean to hold you long. Can I have a few more minutes of your time? They said, it's part one, part two. I said, I'm one of them guys that needs a part two. You know what I'm saying? Notice, Brother Bam says, notice the color of the Spirit of God. Now, if you look at the breastplate of the priest, all them stones and things that are in there, they're not one solid color. But each one represents a different type of color. Oh my. He said the likeness of these four living creatures was amber. Amber is yellowish green. Now watch, he said yellowish green. He revealed himself to Ezekiel. And how did Ezekiel see him as a color? And the light that he saw coming above the four living creatures was yellowish green. How did they have a light? Color. He comes to the Revelator now in yellowish green. He comes to us in yellowish green. Now he says these words, walk in the light. I love this right here. Because unless you've been there, y'all, you don't really know how to say this right. But when you've been there in the light, like John was, you can come back and write in your general epistle, walk in the light as He is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin, and we have fellowship one with another. How could he say fellowship? How could he say the blood of Christ? How could he say all them things? Because when he was in that room, he wasn't looking at just law or grace. He was looking at all of the attributes. Perfect spirit of fellowship. Perfect love. Amen. And brother, the only thing that will inhabit that city will be those people that have a transparent Christian character. So if you don't have these lights spraying out of you, then you need to get the Holy Ghost. If all you've got is law or grace, you need to get saved. Praise the Lord! You need the Holy Ghost if you ain't got no mercy. You need the Holy Ghost if you ain't got no fellowship. You need the Holy Ghost if you need these, if you ain't got these other things. Streak of light or color? Look at this in paragraph 166. He said, watch, look at the fire spraying out of what? He said, the rainbow seven colors, exactly seven colors. Now did you notice? Gay pride used the colors of the rainbow for their flag. But there's only six rays in their flag, not seven. Why? Because it was one word Eve missed in the Garden of Eden that got us in this mess in the first place. But every rainbow starts with the outer perimeter of red. So even in their gay pride, they're testifying that the blood of Jesus Christ is covering around the earth that is the Savior of the earth. Whether they want to admit it or not, He's their Savior too. Unless they reject Him, of course. But I'm not so much worried about them rejecting. I'm more worried about you message people rejecting. You're the ones that's got the arrogance and the hard attitude and that elitist attitude and form boys clubs and cliques and everything else in the world. The homosexuals aren't the ones that need the grace. We're the ones that need it. Amen. We're the one that needs a spray of God's grace and mercy in our life. I better get off that. I'm going to get into something. Oh my, he said the appearance of fire, brightness round about, the appearance of the bow in the cloud is a day of rain. He said round about the throne of God, not the Lord, but the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord covering over His church. Because He is in His church. Amen, he says. Notice the Lord in His great mercy give us these things. Ezekiel and John saw Him in the mystery of His colors and light. 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 So it could only be revealed when the mysteries have been revealed. No wonder He comes down with a rainbow when the mystery is about to come open. Oh, how y'all sat still on that one. I don't know. Hey, come on now. The mystery, that's when the mystery broke wide open. Oh, my. Oh, my. He said the mystery is a color and light, colored an amber color. John, later you're putting the scriptures down. 1 John 1:5-7. He's on the Isle of Patmos 3 years, took the wrote the book. He come back an old man in his 90s. And he said, God is light. John had an experience. That's a problem with us in the message. We don't believe in experiences anymore. I'm going to say it whether you like it or not. Here it comes. Might as well get ready. We have so discussed away and talked away and conversated away a genuine experience with the Lord Jesus in a private room where God reveals Himself to you. I don't mean a private literal room. I mean a private room in your heart. So nowadays in the message, if somebody goes to shouting or crying or all that, we hand them a bunch of books. Here, brother, read the Bible first. Hey, here's an idea. How about let God have His way first? And when they get done squalling, snotting, bawling, can I say that on the internet, snotting? I guess that's okay. When they get done with all that, then hand them a Bible and say, would you like to know what you was hollering about? Would you like to know what was moving on you tonight? Here, let me show you why this is the way it is. You'll never get in this little room by education. Some of y'all, you think you're smart folk, don't you? You think you're smart folk. Y'all, I've been in this message all these years. Some of you have been sitting there saying, glory to God, I've been in the message since before. That's smart. I can't ever be born. You think you got a lot in your head. A lot of knowledge there. I want to ask you a question. When John steps into this place, does the Lamb of God look at him and say, academic credentials, please? Genesis 9:13, I do set my bow in the cloud. It shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth. It shall come to pass. I bring the cloud over the earth. The bow shall be seen in the cloud. You see, that's what happened to you, me and you, brother. The bow, the rainbow, moved over this earth. That's why the cloud hovered above the earth. It's not the cloud hovering above Tucson Earth or Phoenix Earth or Ohio Earth or some other earth. But it's when that seven angel cloud and rainbow hovers over this earth. Brother Bram said, now you back there in the back, that light is hovering above you. The devil must have some knowledge of that because he said in Believing God 1950, he said that when you're sitting in church and you're struggling, he said because it's a black spirit hanging above your head. Well, how is she supposed to get wet unless the rain comes from there above you down here? But you know where we are in the message? The rain starts falling. We say, whoop, I'm going to get wet. Whoop. I better, not going to get me, Lord. Not going to get me. And if that don't work, we pull out our spiritual message umbrella. It's one of them big golf versions, you know. But this shall be a token to you. So when John comes to this place, and God looks at him, he just says, token, please. Brother Bram said, that's how you know you're going to make the rapture. It's because full obedience to the Word of God entitles you to the token. You don't get this divine invitation unless God knew that you could handle what you were going to see when you got there. Now, could you imagine the prophet of God said he's just at the courts? I mean, he is only in the vestibule. And this is what God is showing this man. I can't wait till tomorrow morning when we get the Lamb up there, Revelation 5, and let him take this seven-sealed book in his hand. And he starts breaking forth the mystery of God. You wait till tomorrow morning. We're about to get into some things, y'all. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You can clap if you want to clap. I won't yell at you. But make it to Jesus, friend. Make it to Him. Don't let it be a trend. Don't let it be a custom. Make your hand clap unto the Lord God. Now, how about this? The Bible said, clap your hands, all you people, and said, and shout to the Lord our God. Go ahead. Glory! Hallelujah! Praise our God! Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anything you want to, buddy. Anything you want. Oh, my, I've had a good time tonight. Oh, I'm so thankful to be in God's place. I like what I feel, what I feel, what I feel, what I'm feeling. Now, you can think what you want to about what it looks like when you step into this place. You're absolutely at liberty, if you so choose, to believe that it's just a black and white God that you're seeing out there. But I think you saw from tonight those pictures. And one reason I made that visual the way I did is I wanted you to see it in a different way than what somebody else would tell you about it. Because you see, when they give you facts, they give it to you on black and white pages. When you're on the internet, basically you're looking at black and white when you read those blog sites or whatever else out there. And it don't have to be just that. It could be anything else in the world. But just using this because I want to slam that thing right to the wall as hard as I can. But it's black and white. So you see, if the revelation don't hover over you when you're looking at websites and reading materials and picking up these books in the bookstore and criticisms against Brother Branham and the message and all that, if you don't let the Holy Ghost spray some color in that thing, then you'll start going, well, maybe he was a prophet, maybe he wasn't. Black and white. That's where a lot of people have missed it. I believe, I say this in closing, part of the biggest problems we have around this message are people are colorblind. I said this at a church the other night, Brother Jans, and a bunch of people started going. Spiritually now, spiritually, not naturally. But that's why when they take their eyes and they look on somebody else, they have no mercy. They have no grace. They have no consideration. Friends, we're living in a day where message people, I'm not talking about them folks out there, I'm talking about message people, would assume slap you down than to show you friendship. You remember the prophet of God said, friendship is a gift of God. Some of you in here, no doubt you see the gift of tongues, gift of prophecy, other gifts. You'd say, praise God for them gifts. And then turn your nose up at the gift of friendship. I told our church back home in Manchester the other day the same thing I told you. I told them Wednesday night, same thing I told you here tonight. Don't let it be said of us in Manchester that we are the most unfriendly people you've ever seen. Let's face facts. That's the way people look at message churches. They come in here and sit amongst us and there's no friendship. There's no hospitality. People come and sit down in the pew. Nobody speaks to them. Nobody has any grace for them. And if they surely go, oh my Lord God, if they show up with a tattoo or something like that, oh, that scum of the earth, that horrible person. And then they say they've got this in their lives. It's impossible. Was Jesus a man of black and white? No. He had all these other characteristics about him. I don't believe Jesus was just a healer. I don't believe he was just a savior. I don't believe that he was just a lawgiver. But I believe Jesus had the potential, listen now, to be a friend. I'm always marveled. I've heard your pastor say it for years, and I've got the same feeling as Brother Donnie on this. When I read Future Home, the first things Brother Bram goes to doing when he talks about those people is commending them on their behavior in the hotels, restaurants. You want to be deep? You want to be spiritual? Let's let these rays shine on us. Friendship, fellowship, mercy, love. But instead, what do we have? Criticism, hatred, bitterness. And if you're not careful, as a tested, proven church, I've seen this around the ranks as I've traveled. Churches that have men of God, multiple men, not just the pastor, but men of God that stand in the pulpit and tell the people the truth. And that church is put to the test. I've watched how the devil has done some of them as an evangelist. He'll let people from the outside so affect them that whenever they come back to church, they start forming their little, whatever it may be, but Happy Valley cocoon. Let's say it this way. And if you're not proven, and it takes you years to prove them, you're suspicious, huh? You watch every move they make. You come here and sit down in the church and you're thinking, okay, is that one of them guys taking notes on us? Are they going to send us to Alaska? My God. If they sent saints to Alaska, we'd take the spoken word in Third Pool and turn it into Hawaii overnight. Get that foolishness out of your head. The bride will never see such things. You need to have more confidence in the God you serve. Because Almighty God promised that He would protect His little bride with His feathers. The world has bomb shelters, but we have feathers. No wonder the world thinks we're crazy. But what a protection we've got. And He doesn't just protect me from harm from out there, but He protects my mind from deception. He protects my spirit from vulgarity and bitterness, emulation, wrath. He wards off. Just today alone, I bet you and I would be, I imagine we'd be completely amazed to find out how much God protected us from just today alone. What spirits are after you? What spirits are out to get you? What devils would like to put cancer on you and tuberculosis on you and put some depression on you until you're so doped up with all these pills that you don't know if you're on Mars or Earth or where you're at?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, to the best of my ability, the best of my knowledge, I've said everything you wanted me to say. I believe what I preached tonight was, thus saith the Lord. I have no doubt of that whatsoever. Because Lord, it's not my ideas, it's not my thoughts, but it's the absolute Word of God and these prophets' quotes that I'm preaching about. I thank you for what I've heard tonight. I thank you for what you've given to us tonight. I pray you'd help us. Lord, please help us. So much of what we see around us, if we're not careful, it'll make us bitter, closed off, guarded. As Christians, our hearts are broken over and over and over again. But Lord Jesus, help us. Help this little church here to be above such things. Help these folks here to be above such things. Not to be guarded, not to be closed off. But to have that ray of perfect fellowship, friendship. Help me, Lord. As I preach to people everywhere I go, I see what I'm talking about tonight over and over again. I get so sorrowful feeling, Lord, toward the people of this message. Because the majority of them, they're blind as they can be. They don't really see what's getting ready to lay ahead of them. Lord, it ain't Alaska. It ain't concentration camps. It's the darkness and the blackness of the absence of your light. As long as you're in our life, you bring color to us. You bring all kinds of, oh my, the look of you, the feeling of you. Lord, I don't even just want to see heaven, but I want to smell it. You said you were the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon. I won't just see redemption in colors and things, but I'll smell redemption. I'll taste it. Brother Bram said there'll be a tree of life blooming in our yard. It'll have 12 manner of fruit on it. We'll get to taste heaven. We'll get to feel heaven. Lord, that's the way you want it. Every attribute and perspective of our life to be filled with all these splashes of color and these varieties of color. But Lord Jesus, as I read your prophet said a few years ago about a young lady, he said, I saw her cross the line. He said, circled around with black. And he said, I knew that was it. Why? They reject this colorful move of the Holy Ghost from your spiritual rainbow. And all that's left for them is chains of darkness. No light, no color, no vibrance, just black. God help us. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. With your heads bowed just another moment. Sinner friend, I'm talking to you in here. If you need the Holy Ghost tonight, if you need to get saved, would you just raise your hand to the Lord, not to me, but to God, and say, Brother Ben, I'm lost today. God bless that hand. God bless you. Somebody else. God bless you, sir. You. Somebody else like to say, Brother Ben, I'm lost. God bless you, sister. I see you, brother. Somebody else. I need the Holy Ghost. God bless you, sister. And you, sister, I think you are. Yes, sister. My, what is that, 8 or 10 hands already? You tell me, is it worth it? Is it worth it, friends? To tell the truth, to cut through all these devils so somebody can get liberated and get free? Now, you that had your hands raised, maybe you're backslid. I'd like to see, are you backsliders in here tonight that you'd like to say, I've been struggling with a black and white thing. Not sure if the message is right. Not sure this, not sure that. Maybe you're backslid. Maybe you've gotten away from the Lord, got cold on the Lord. Maybe you've got an old crusty attitude and you just don't really want to move up into the things of God and you want to be right with the Lord. Would you raise your hand? We're going to pray for each other in just a moment. I'll have you lay hands on one another minute, but I want to make sure each one gets to raise their hand in a certain way to let the Lord know that they mean business with this tonight. Somebody else. Backslid. God bless you. You, all right? You, somebody else, backslid. Not where I need to be with God. Jesus still loves you, friend. He still loves you with all of His heart. He wouldn't let you hear His word tonight if He didn't care for you. Somebody else, raise your hand. All right? Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Now, I know you Christians have got needs in here. If I was to ask each one of you if you had a need, I'm sure you'd all raise your hand. That's right. But now, let's concentrate tonight on the Holy Ghost and that rainbow and cloud hovering over these ones that raise their hands tonight. Just let that Spirit of God, that rainbow, hover over you. And as He hovers over you, let Him bring color to your life. Can we pray together? Lay your hands one on another, if you will. Let's pray one for another. My Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, as we come into the presence of God, we come in the name of Jesus Christ. We love You. We thank You. We appreciate You, Lord, for Your mercy and Your grace. And as we enter into the sacred chapel of the Lord God, we enter into the august gates and presence of the Lord Jesus. We do so, Father, with our true token in our hand and present it before You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord God, as we stand here in Your divine presence with hands laid one upon another, Lord, I lost count. There was 8 or 10 hands went up tonight that said they didn't have the Holy Ghost. Lord, there's a few hands, 4 or 5 different ones I saw that said they was backslid and wasn't where they needed to be with You. Now, Father, as we have our hands laid one upon another, we know the prophet of God taught us that they've scientifically proven light passes from one to another. Now, Lord God, with the little light of Jesus Christ inside of each of our hearts, eagle to eagle, contact to contact, life to life, I pray that You would hover over each one of these souls. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus, may the rainbow and the cloud and the rain, glory to God. Hallelujah. May it shine down upon each of Your children. And may the power of God, may they get so wet in the presence of the rain of the Lord Jesus, that their life begins to change, that you'll bring color into their life. Lord God, I pray, oh Jesus, may them old demons over their life that would take them down into blackness and darkness of legalism and of a narrow-minded perspective. Lord Jesus, may those things be broke over their life tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we condemn the devil. Satan, take your hands off of God's children and God's property. May the power of the Holy Ghost fall fresh on each one of them. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my, for each of your children, Lord God, I pray you'd bless them, help them, strengthen them, encourage them, Lord God. You see what they're going through even this week, what they've already suffered and struggled through. I pray you'd be with each one of them, Lord. May the power of God hover over each one tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now everybody put your hands up now. Let's tell the Lord we thank Him for Him. That's right. That's the way. That's the way you move right on up into it. That's what I like to see. Come on now. Open up, pour your heart out to the Lord Jesus. I say, Father, thank you. Thank you. I had chains of darkness around me, but the rainbow is shining tonight. Hallelujah. Oh my, the devil would try to pull this, pull that, but it's broke around me tonight. I'm thanking you, Lord Jesus. I'm giving you praise tonight, Lord God. I'm worshiping you with all of my heart, soul, mind, body, and spirit. And thanking you tonight, Heavenly Father, for being a deliverer, for being the same yesterday, today, and forever, for loosing the captive and setting free those in bondage. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Break every chain. Break every chain. Man, I'm going to tell you, that ain't just a song. I feel it tonight. I feel it. How many feels deliverance in here? Put your hand up like this. How many of you had your hands up a little bit earlier? You're feeling different now. Come on, tell me. Tell me. Oh my, look at this. Look at this going different places. You feeling different now? You feeling that rainbow beginning to open up the wind, as it were. That's it. That's right. Give Him praise for it. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Friend, the devil would leave your life black, dismal, and dark. Tasteless, odorless, and colorless. But Jesus wants to illuminate our lives. Oh, hallelujah. He wants to illuminate our lives with the mystery of His colors. Let's sing it. Power in the name of Jesus. I've held you a little long, but we in worship mode right now, don't you think so? I try not to be a long-winded preacher. I really try not to be long-winded, but I'm going to be honest with you. In certain places, not mentioning any names, it is hard not to be long-winded when you feel as good as I feel right now. Amen.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Yes, there's power.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
To do what?
To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. I can see those chains are falling. I can see those chains are falling. Chain, break every chain, break every break every chain. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There is an army rising up. Break every chain, every chain. Break every chain. Every chain, every chain. I can see those chains falling. I can see those chains falling. I can see those chains falling. Break every chain, break every chain. Every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain. Every chain, every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's a mighty God among us. There is a mighty God among us. There is a mighty God. Every chain, every chain. Break, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, every chain. Break every chain. Let it rain, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain, let it rain. Open the floodgates. In my soul, let it rain, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven tonight. Let it rain, let it rain. Oh, open the floodgates of heaven. Stand and live.
We've said with this
this place.
Trials of this world, we're getting stronger.
Sing one before we go. Are y'all in a hurry? I want to sing the Revelation song. You know what? Y'all do that one here. Flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. I'll have to sing it. Is that what you're trying to say? Lord have mercy. Like I said, God bless you, church. I'll see you in the morning. Amen. 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 Key of G, buddy. I'm putting my Bible over there because if not, I'll preach again. Well, Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Well, now, Jesus on the main line, tell him.
body changed. Lord, you know I sure do need this old body changed. Telling you
I like
what
that.
I want.
Well, if you need that body change, tell him what you want.
Oh, call him
on the main line now. You can call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want.
Oh, call him up.
Brother Harry has been wanting to let loose all night long. You can hear it in his music. I'm a musician too. I know what it sounds like when them keys, you want them to do a little bit more than what you're regularly allowed to do. So in light of what I preach tonight, let's show a spirit of fellowship. And let's shake hands one with another. And I want y'all to let loose and play while they fellowship. All right? Go ahead, buddy. I know you're wanting to cut loose. I'm an organ player too. I can feel it. Amen. Go ahead, turn, shake hands with somebody. Greet one another. Say hello, friend. Hello, friend. Bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. Yeah. I did it.
Jesus on the bed.
Black brothers and sisters in South Carolina say like this, call him up, call him up. Come on, you can do it. Tell him what you want. Well, now call him up. Come on, get some sway.
Call him up.
Tell him what you want. You've got to call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Well, now Jesus on the main. Now. All right, clap your hands now. Well, call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. You've got to call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. You've got to call him up. Tell him what you want. Jesus.
Heaven's never busy.
I like that note. See you in the morning. Love you.
Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory.